There we are. Welcome, everyone. And I'll jump over to chat room. Let me know in chat if you can see and hear me okay. Let me make sure I've got all the buttons pushed, especially the audio. That looks good. Okay. Okay, we're all set to go. All right, thank you, my friends. Sorry for getting the link out a little bit late tonight to everyone. And we do have a lot to cover. What I think I will do tonight is proceed down through the posts that we published on Band yesterday and today. It's spelled B-A-N-D. And for those that are listening later on, to the recorded version, that's our private message board, B-A-N-D. And if you are a patron, you can join us on Band. If you try to search for us on Band without being a patron, you will not find us. Okay, so I get a lot of emails, which is fine. I'm happy to do that. Again, it's B-A-N-D, but go to anthonypatch.com and click on the Patreon tab at the top of my homepage, and please join us on Patreon. You'll have access to Band. That's where all of our conversations are taking place. The patrons themselves are posting tremendous information and beautiful scripture and beautiful prayers on that community board. Okay, so it's not just Kathleen and myself putting information there. This is where the patrons communicate with one another. Okay, we don't do that on Patreon simply because of the nature of the material that we are covering does not fit the community guideline standards on Patreon, which are very similar to those found on YouTube and PayPal, both of which, YouTube and PayPal, we are now banned, as you well know. So that is spelled B-A-N-N-E-D, banned. But anyway, please just join us there. We have 4 years of archives that are set aside at anthonypatch.com just for the patrons. Papers that tend to disappear from the internet, that sort of thing. Okay, so lots of information available. Plus, if you are a patron, you also are subscribed to our monthly magazine, Entangled Magazine, which is now 4 years in publication, and for the last 7 months consecutively has been number one on Amazon. So thank you to everyone who has been purchasing the magazine. All right, so with the administrative taken care of, I would like to go to our scripture for this evening. I'll put this back up on our screen. And this is Psalm 37:13. The Lord Laughs is the title of tonight's live stream. The Lord Laughs. Verse 13, but the Lord laughs seeing that their day is coming. And indeed it is. The patch 180 to this entire mess that we find ourselves sequestered in. The 180 to this, turning it around from the fear, turning it around to the hope, the faith, the gladness in our heart, not because people are suffering, but because we know that the Lord is returning, and he said these things must happen just prior to his return, and they are indeed happening. I'm going to read Psalm 37 in totality. Delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 1. Do not fret over those who do evil. Do not envy those who do wrong. For they wither quickly like grass and wilt like tender plants. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness like the dawn, your justice like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men prosper in their ways, when they carry out wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and abandon wrath. Do not fret. It can only bring harm. For the evildoers will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look at them, you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and delight in abundant prosperity. The wicked scheme against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs, seeing that their day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But the swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better is the little of the righteous that the abundance of many who are wicked than the abundance of many who are wicked. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will last forever. In the time of evil, they will not be ashamed, and in the days of famine, they will be satisfied. But the wicked and enemies of the Lord will perish like the glory of the fields. They will vanish like smoke. They will fade away. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous are gracious in giving. Surely those he blesses will inherit the land, but the cursed will be destroyed. The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord, who takes delight in his journey. Though he falls, he will not be overwhelmed, for the Lord is holding his hand. I was once young, and now I'm old, yet never have I seen the righteous abandoned or their children begging for bread. They are ever generous and quick to lend, and their children are a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so that you will abide forever. For the Lord loves justice and will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the rapt utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not falter. Though the wicked lie in wait for the righteous and seek to slay them, the Lord will not leave them in their power or let them be condemned under judgment. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will raise you up to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man flourishing like a well-rooted native tree, yet he passes away and was no more. Though I searched, he could not be found. Consider the blameless and observe the upright, for prosperity awaits the man of peace. But the transgressors will all be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. And finally, verse 40, the Lord helps and delivers them. He rescues and saves them from the wicked, because they take refuge in him. Psalm 37 should be kept at the ready. Kept at the ready. I hope that was encouragement for you all. I read through that, and for you as well, I'm sure there are things that just jump off the page at you that are so true about today. And it does seem that the wicked are prospering. It appears that they're in control. It looks like they've got it all figured out. They've got it all planned out ahead of time, and they're unfolding it according to their timetable. And we've paid attention to their timetable so that we can set forth the expectations of what the wicked will do. That's what a watchman does. But it does not mean that a watchman is fearful. Quite to the contrary. The watchman and watchwoman, all of you, are on the front lines. You are on the wall where the arrows will fly from the bows, where the spears will be thrust. Okay? The only way you can stand on the wall, stand on the front line, is because you have faith in the Lord. You understand Psalm 37. And therefore, you are not fearful because you know that what lies ahead is all eternity for you with the Lord. As much as they want to change DNA and they want to inject poisons into people, it will come to naught. It will come to naught for God's children. Now, just a side note, the thunderstorm is rolling in over the top of me right now. Kathleen said where she's located, it's pretty heavy. So I will be joining her after the live stream. But over here at the house, it's beginning. And if I lose power, which is commonplace, you'll know it's because of the thunderstorm. Okay? And I apologize ahead of time if we lose the live stream tonight. Okay? If you would, please join me over on Band, B-A-N-D. Okay? And I want to thank everyone who's just been sending in some incredible, incredible research papers and also articles from alternative media and mainstream media alike. And it really is rolling forth at a rapid pace. So I've tried to be selectful in the things that I send to you and not make this appear to be some sort of a news aggregation site, but useful information, okay? All right. I'm going to jump up and down the page here on Band, but I want to start with this. This is near and dear to a lot of people. We have a lot of healthcare professionals as patrons, and a lot that are in the general community that listen to the recorded live streams later. I know, we know, because we receive the emails from them. So it's fitting that we lead off tonight with HIPAA. Okay, if you'd scroll down to that. Is it a HIPAA violation to ask for proof of vaccine status? Very commonly asked question, and I want to address that tonight. This comes to us from HIPAAjournal.com. This comes from the source. Okay. Let me get to the punchline, the excerpt that I posted to you, and then we will backfill that. Okay? It would not be a HIPAA violation for an employer to ask employee's healthcare provider for proof of vaccination. It would, however, be a HIPAA violation for the employee's healthcare provider to disclose that information to the employer unless the individual had provided authorization to do so. If an employer is running their own vaccination program and an employee chooses to have their vaccine privately, that individual may have to authorize their healthcare provider to disclose certain information about their vaccine to their employer as proof that they have been vaccinated. Okay? What this means in a nutshell, and we'll go through this in detail because it's very important. This is like the discussion we've had about the definition and difference between an authorized vaccine or drug, which is the current status of all of the vaccines for SARS-CoV-2. They're only authorized, but none have been approved by the Federal Drug Administration in the United States and in Europe and other countries. None of them have been approved. Okay? The websites of the pharmaceutical companies clearly state that this is a two-year human trial. Therefore, it can only be authorized. It cannot be approved during the trial period. Now, with that background, what I want to emphasize about HIPAA is that if you work for a healthcare provider, you work in a hospital, clinic, doctor's office, you're a traveling nurse, you're a hospice caregiver, if you work for a health provider that employee can, according to HIPAA, ask for proof of vaccination. You see, the distinction here is between a healthcare employer and a non-healthcare employer. Okay? The only way a non-healthcare employer can ask, they cannot mandate, the only way they can ask you for proof of vaccination, even as a condition of employment, we highlighted the Texas case that the judge threw out, we highlighted that on Sunday's live stream, it is important to understand that they can ask, but you are not obligated to ask your healthcare provider, your doctor, your hospital, your clinic, CVS Pharmacy, another pharmacy that has provided you the vaccine. Okay, hopefully you're not taking the vaccine. But for those that have been vaccinated, they're under no obligation to provide that information. They can disclose it of their own free will to their non-healthcare provider, but it has nothing to do with HIPAA, okay? It has to do with the conditions of employment with that non-healthcare provider. And that's what the Texas judge was saying. Now, I disagree with the judge's ruling. I think it's a violation of privacy. And I think it is clearly a violation during a trial period to force someone to participate in a trial. Okay, that's why I brought it up. I would suggest if anyone is considering legal action that they focus on the trial period by all of the pharmaceutical companies, stipulating that during a trial period, a trial drug, therapeutic, vaccine cannot be mandated as a condition for continued employment. Or new employment, for that matter. That's how I would approach it legally, but I'm not a lawyer. According to several media sources, there appears to be a degree of confusion about the purpose of HIPAA, who it applies to, and whether asking someone if they have had a COVID-19 vaccine constitutes a HIPAA violation. The confusion was highlighted recently when, on May 18, 2021, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican out of Georgia, was asked whether she had been vaccinated, and she had refused to wear a mask on the House floor in breach of House rules. Green told reporters that asking about her vaccine status was a HIPAA violation, but this was not correct, as HIPAA does not apply in such situations. Again, she's employed by the federal government. Okay? She's employed by the state government. She's employed by the government. Government can ask for proof, but as far as I'm concerned, it's not legal. But the distinction is it is not a HIPAA violation because the government is not a healthcare provider. Okay? All right. The Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, known as HIPAA, was created primarily to modernize the flow of healthcare information, stipulate how personally identifiable information maintained by the healthcare and healthcare insurance industries should be protected from fraud and theft, and address limitations on healthcare insurance coverage. Okay? So you can read the balance of that if you care to. We're going to move right along through this. But I wanted to clarify that. I wanted people to know that on BAND, B-A-N-D, this article is available for you to share with your employer. Okay? All right. I'm going to try to keep these in some semblance of order here. I'm going to go to U.S. College COVID vaccine mandates don't consider immunity or pregnancy and may run afoul of the law. Broad mandates in the civilian population of an unapproved emergency use authorization product are unprecedented, and the legality may ultimately be answered in court. So this is building upon what I just stated. This is coming from childrenshealthdefense.org. That's Kennedy Jr.'s site. This is quoting one of the students at UC Berkeley. "People are really excited about getting the vaccine on campus. It will help us feel safe at school. and he's hopeful it will mean a return to normal. On Zoom, that's all we talk about. We just wish we were together in person. Now, let me clarify this for you. All of the vaccine producers state that these vaccines address only mild to moderate symptoms. They do not prevent the acquisition of the disease by a person. So when this student says that they feel safe at school, that is misleading. They are not safe at school. They are not safe from acquiring COVID-19 in the wild, and they are not safe from those that are vaccinated who are spreading the spike proteins, glycoprotein 120 in particular, that are found, as we shared with you on Sunday, the autopsy that was done on the first victim that died of COVID that was vaccinated, they found spike proteins in every single major organ that was examined in the autopsy. So there's no reason to feel safe, even around the vaccinated, because they are still transmitting the disease and they are transmitting spike proteins. So this false sense of safety is truly false. But this reflects the mainstream narrative out there. This reflects the students' attitude across campuses and around the world. They think that it's great and they get to return to normal if they get vaccinated. And it's only for mild to moderate symptoms in those that are 50 years of age and older. Okay? We are finding that those that are 15 years of age, and in some cases 5 years of age, they're developing myocarditis, which is inflammation of the wall of the heart, leading to congestive heart failure. I've treated many, many people with myocarditis and congestive heart failure as a paramedic. It is a life-threatening malady. Okay? Beginning in the late March, some U.S. colleges and universities began issuing requirements for students to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 if they want to return to campus this autumn. Some policies include faculty and staff. What began as a handful of colleges soon turned into dozens by mid-April, and to date, some 350 institutions have issued such policies. Even though all three COVID-19 vaccines available in the U.S. remain under emergency use authorization status and are not approved. Okay? So you can read the balance of this. You get the gist from this story. Students won't listen. They just have the cognitive dissonance. They think they're immortal. They think they know it all. They think that they've taken one class in biology and they think they know it all. They don't know anything. Okay? This is out of the UK on BAND. UK government released 19th report on adverse reactions to the COVID vaccines. This comes from the dailyexpose.co.uk today. The UK government has released their 19th report highlighting adverse reactions to both Pfizer-BioNTech and Oxford-AstraZeneca vaccines that have occurred since the rollout began 8 December of 2020, and the shocking increase in the number of nervous system disorders is frightening. Now, I'm not going to read through all of the numbers in here. I encourage you to read it on your own, but this is the gist of the article, and that is the nervous system disorder. So we're not only talking about what we published a few months ago about attacking and interrupting the autonomic nervous system, but the neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and Bell's palsy and strokes is being brought on because the concentration of spike proteins, which will be the subject, the primary subject in the July issue of Entangled Magazine, spike proteins. And I welcome all the information you can send me on spike proteins. The issue here is that within the spleen, as well as other major organs, but specifically in the spleen, we are finding high concentrations of spike proteins that on a continuous, emphasize, underline, highlight, continuous basis in those that are vaccinated, spike proteins are running wild in those that are vaccinated, continuously being produced, which means the immune system is continuously responding to this invasion, which consequently is weakening the immune systems of those that have been vaccinated. Those that have been vaccinated are in more danger than those that are exposed to the virus in the wild. And the numbers bear this out. The nervous system disorders, including blood clots, micro blood clots in the brain and in the lungs, found during autopsy, as well as not just clotting, as we've heard from AstraZeneca, but bleeding in the brain leading to strokes and death. Okay? Now, they took a look at the reporting system in the United Kingdom, much like we take a look at the VAERS reporting in the United States. Okay? Let me give you a takeaway without reading all the numbers. They are saying that there's only about 1% of the actual cases being reported. So you have roughly 10 times the number of cases that are illustrated in the UK in their reporting system and in the US under VAERS. Whatever numbers that you're seeing online, multiply by 10. And that's more in keeping. And that's not my number. This comes from medical professionals. This has been published in the peer-reviewed literature. Multiply by a factor of 10, and you will see the real numbers. And when we quote things like 15 and older being vaccinated, 200 in the United States suffering from myocarditis, we're considering that tenfold. All right? So please look through that, especially if you are in the UK. We have a lot of patrons from the UK, and I think it's wonderful. I mean, this is getting, has been, but it is getting around the world, and this is what needs to happen. It needs to be presented around the world. Now, the National Health Services, okay, just changed how they count the COVID cases and why. Again, this can be found on BAND. The NHS source claims new data will be more realistic in the future by removing incidental COVID from the records. Okay, so they're going to hone their statistics, they claim, and make them more accurately reflective of the true situation, the true number of cases in the UK. I shared a video with you that my wife Kathleen shared with me yesterday from 2017 from a TED Talk, and this is from a Moderna physician, Moderna researcher, in which he was talking about rewriting the genetic code, and he calls it information therapy. Now, what he states in there is everything that we have reported to you over the last 18 months. This is about modification of the DNA. And he says so. It is about the messenger RNA jabs are rewriting the genetic code. In order to do that, you have to enter the nucleus. In order to do that, you must integrate the messenger RNA from the vaccine into the host's DNA. Then that genetic code is rewritten. I call it, and the literature refers to it this way, as chimeric, which is the merging of genetic material between two organisms. Now, they call it information therapy. Information because the information is derived first from the sequence of the nucleotides. Then they select which nucleotides are going to be retained and which ones are going to be silenced or removed. They shuffle the deck of cards of nucleotides to reshuffle, rewrite the original sequence. This is how they produced in the laboratory in silico the messenger RNA single-strand sequence of SARS-CoV-2, information therapy. So please watch that video. Again, if you want to know what they're doing today, you have to step back into history where they didn't try to obfuscate it quite as heavily as they are today. Very good, short video, listen to it. You know, everything he says, apply the patch 180 and turn it around 180 degrees and it will reveal the true nature, the truth of what is going on, okay? Now, I'm trying to keep in order, but I'm kind of jumping a little bit here. college to charge vaccinated students, unvaccinated students, charging them a $1,500 health and safety fee. So they're putting the screws to the students. It's peer pressure. It's marking them as in New Hampshire at the graduation ceremony with the graduating students. Those that were unvaccinated had a black mark on their hand from a black marker. They're using coercion in the form of $1,500. They're fining students for not getting vaccinated. Very few families can afford $1,500. And that's each semester. Plus, they're requiring weekly testing. Vaccination will be required for all students, staff, and faculty on campus after the FDA issues formal approval. So again, we need to be very careful when we look at the word approval versus authorized. So they're saying once the approval, which would be at the conclusion, if they follow the regulations, which they have not to date followed any regulations regarding the vaccines, but if they follow the regulations on vaccine development, they should allow the 2-year human trials phase 3 test to run its 2-year course. I don't think they will. But once it runs its course, then the FDA would have an opportunity to approve or not approve based on the trial outcome. Well, the trial outcome is going to be skewed. We know that. Everything has been skewed. But the point here is their requirement is based upon approval, not authorization. So I just want to be very clear with that. Okay? All right. Now, going back into history, I posted something that a patron sent to us that is absolutely wonderful. I'm going to include this in the July issue of Entangled Magazine. This is from 1888. The Vaccine Watchman. Okay? This was published in 1888 by W.D. Stokes, a medical botanist. Okay? Let me read down through this real quick. The herb for service of man, and he cites Psalm 14. The blood of the people shall be on the watchman's head if he sound not the trumpet, Ezekiel chapters 4, 5, and 6. The vaccine watchman, showing the awful effects of corrupting the blood with 50 different kinds of disease through vaccination, 1888. Proving that the practice of corrupting pure blood with disease, to prevent disease, is an insult to common sense. I would say it's an insult to God and Jesus Christ. I would say it's an insult to our critical thinking. It is an insult to logic as well as common sense. The opinion of eminent physicians is that more people die through improper medical treatment than from all other causes. It shows how heavily the public is taxed to support a useless, sinful, disease-creating practice, namely vaccination. Again, 1888. It gives a remedy which has never failed to cure smallpox. Testimonials of wonderful cures are affected. That's the suppression. In the present time, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine are suppressed. Okay. Please take the time I attached the file, the PDF, from Stokes, W.D. Stokes. Please take the time to read through that. I will link it out from the July issue of Entangled Magazine. Okay? There's nothing new under the sun. Okay. I'm not going to get into this because I don't want to do a technical Tuesday today, but there is an article that I sent to you from Ireland. Here's the excerpt. They found that the balance between a protein that causes clotting called von Willebrand factor, VWF, and its regulator called ATOM TS13 is severely disrupted in patients with severe COVID-19. When compared to control groups, the blood of COVID-19 patients had higher levels of the pro-clotting VWF molecules and lower levels of the anti-clotting ATOM TS13. Now, I bring that to you because, Kathleen, in the background, we are looking at something we've talked about somewhat superficially, but we've published it in Entangled as well, talking about the study, the research of the poisons from pit vipers, specifically cobras. We are looking at what we think, and right now this is very preliminary, we think that they are including certain functionalities, and they relate to Willebrand factor, VWF, certain characteristics of venom, viper snake venom, in all of the vaccines. It may explain, along with spike proteins, it may explain the blood clotting that's going on, either disrupted of clotting or promoting clotting. So more on that as we develop more research material, okay? All righty. Scrolling down. Alrighty. Ireland news headlines. Top up, okay, those are booster shots. Top up vaccines in winter to tackle variants. Family affected by mica controversy is another article, but we'll stick to the booster shots. Now they're talking about in winter, top up vaccines. And many of you caught on to this and posted comments relative to what Kathleen and I have been saying, that we are expecting Operation Whiplash, as I'm calling it, where they're going to pull the rug out from under people who think that they've returned to normal, and they're suddenly going to clamp down, and they're going to blame it on the vaccine refusers and on the variants. Ireland news headlines, top up vaccines in winter to tackle variants. Family affected by mica controversy have to tear our home down and need 100 pence redress. Okay, well, that's a different story. Let's look at the boosters. Fully vaccinated people will be offered booster shots this winter in a bid to tackle the spread of COVID-19 variants. That's where the blame's going to be, folks. Older and vulnerable people will be offered the top-up jabs first, while a program for vaccinating secondary school pupils is also being considered. Remember, they want to push this all the way down to 15-year-olds, even younger. Vaccine booster shots will be offered to fully vaccinated people this winter as part of a government plan to tackle the spread of COVID-19 variants. The National Immunization Advisory Committee will discuss whether booster shots should match the vaccine a person originally received or if they can be mixed. Boy, you're just going to compound the problem even more if you mix these vaccines. And medical professionals are saying so, okay? All right, you get the gist of that as well. COVID pandemic to be far more deadly this year. WHO chief sends out grim warning. I cannot pronounce his name, so he's the director general of the World Health Organization. He says we're on track for the second year of this pandemic to be far more deadly than the first. Okay. World health experts issued a grim warning Friday that the second year of COVID-19 was set to be far more deadly as Japan extended a state of emergency amid growing calls for the Olympics to be scrapped. In Japan, the majority of the population is saying do not hold the Olympics, and I would agree with that. I agree because of the spread of variants and also the transmission of spikes, spike proteins, and the transmission of neurodegenerative disorder. Okay. Guys, I'm probably going to make this a pretty short live stream. I am pretty much under the weather today, and I'm trying to trying to move through this quickly. Now, this is very insidious. We all had a sense of this, but I'm going to read this in its totality. These are excerpts taken from the article. The CEOs of 178 healthcare companies collectively made $3.2 billion. Okay, these are the individual CEOs. Made $3.2 billion during the coronavirus pandemic, which was 31% more than in 2019. The big picture. Healthcare executives took home more than ever because a vast majority of their pay still comes in the form of stock. While the coronavirus ravaged people's lives, the healthcare system, and the broader economy, the soaring stock market immunized executives' pay. The highest paid healthcare CEO in 2020 was Joe Chiani of Masimo, a large medical device company best known for its products that measure oxygen saturation and other vitals. Chiani earned more than $210 million last year, the highest amount of any healthcare CEO in the past 3 years. An amount equal to 88% of Masimo's net profit in 2020. So there's more there. You can see this. They're talking $100 million and $500 million and $239 million and $85 million. It's just sick. Just sick. And there's no accountability. None whatsoever against these CEOs. They're poisoning and killing people. So say the medical professionals. We simply report the facts here. Okay? Now, this comes from a defector out of North Korea. Even North Korea was not this nuts. Defector recalls Ivy League education. Warns America headed for future just as bleak as communist nation she fled. This is out of WorldNet Daily. North Korean defector Yeonmi Park talks about her experience as a Columbia University student in a Fox News interview. The anti-Western sentiment, collective guilt, and suffocating political correctness at Columbia University was deeply disturbing, she says, in an interview on Fox News. And you can read the balance of that article. No doubt, she confirms what we all know. This is kind of an interesting side story. Pilot, since we talk about Patch Airlines, I thought this was appropriate. Pilot hid note in cockpit as COVID grounded the fleet last year and recorded the very chilling sight in the desert. Now, I'm not going to read all of this, but he left a note for whoever ultimately would pick up the aircraft and return it to service. He said, "It wasn't until we were on final approach, headed in for landing, when it hit me. The instructions noted to go behind a follow-me vehicle that brings you to a parking spot. As we crossed the runway, Delta aircraft, it's hard to fathom how many aircraft Delta has until you see that many of them parked in one place." And the pictures are included. The note is included in this article. Out in the desert, commercial airliners, not just Delta, but many, many airlines, parking their aircraft. Rows upon rows upon rows. Okay? Just amazing. There is an interview that I highlighted on Sunday's live stream, and this is where I'm going to stop. And this was Dr. Roger Hodgkinson. And I appreciate the comments everybody posted regarding that video. It is difficult for me, at least, to get through the video because of the interviewer, the host. But Dr. Hodgkinson, I think, is speaking the truth. Okay. Urgent British report calls for complete cessation of COVID vaccines in humans. Okay, that's from America's frontline doctors. I'll read a couple more and then we're going to conclude for tonight. Business Insider had the story about the federal judge that ruled against the 100 Houston hospital workers that I mentioned earlier that would be fired if they did not get proof of COVID vaccination. Okay? And then we have Dr. Peter McCullough. Okay? So I'm going to end there, and I apologize. I'm not going to go 2 hours tonight. I just physically just don't have the energy to do it. And hopefully Thursday I will be fully recovered and we'll be able to march on through just the plethora of information that is out there that I really should be covering tonight. And I'm sorry that I'm not able to. Let me get back into the chat room if I can. Sorry, guys, I'm trying to find the chat room. Prefer to sign off in person rather than just in the blank here. Here we go. Okay, guys, so please take the time that we were going to set aside for tonight, and please use the time to read through the balance of those articles. It really will arm you with very good arguments against the fence sitters. Don't bother with the people that have already been vaccinated. They're just not going to listen to you. Okay, don't cast your pearls. They're not going to listen to you. But those that have not been vaccinated, continue to reach out to you. Preach the good news of the gospel. They need salvation first. Once they're saved, they will understand through the Holy Spirit that this is the grand deception and that this is meant to kill off humanity. As Scripture says, at least a third of humanity. Okay? So God bless you all. Lord willing, I'll be back together with you on Thursday. Good night.